Welcome to the Caixa Seguridade conference call to discuss the results of the fourth quarter 2021. After some brief remarks by the executives, we will start the question and answer session, initially for analysts and investors, and then for the journalists present, at which time further instructions will be provided. This event is being broadcast via webcast and can be accessed on the company's website at www.ri.caixaseguridade.com.br. Those participating in the event through the webcast will also be able to pose their questions on the platform, and they will be answered by the management during this conference call or by Caixa Seguridade's investor relations team after the end of the conference call. Before proceeding, I would like to point out that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management of Caixa Seguridade and the current information available to the company. These forward-looking statements may involve risks and uncertainties since they relate to future events and, therefore, depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists must take into account that events related to the macroeconomic environment, the segment, and other factors may cause the results to be materially different from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. I pass the floor to Ms. Camila Aichi. You may proceed, ma'am. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in the presentation of the results from the fourth quarter 2021 and the full year of 2021. This was a very important year for Caixa Seguridade with a lot of achievements. In summary, we created five JVs, one own broker. We had the IPO, and what we are going to show you is that we did all of this with record results and with high levels of governance. Beginning our presentation with the highlights for the year. For the quarter, we have the growth of the premium in compared to 2020 of 14.3%. It's very expressive. The premium bonds collection grew by 11.2%. It's a JV that started in August, and so far, this strategy was put on hold, and when we have the JV operational, we saw the return of the product showing the force of the Caixa network. As for insurance, we had 51.1%, showing that the transition in terms of brokerage revenues and how they impact our results, all the reorganization of Caixa Seguridade that we have seen, and we have seen that the strategy has been very successful. In relation to the year, we have the home insurance issuances with a growth of 28.3%, reaching 670 million, more than 1 million policies for the year. The highest historical levels, reaching 38 billion, and a growth in the reserves of 19%, 109.8 billion. Quite a growth when we see that the market grew a little bit more than 4%, and we grew 19% in reserves. And we had a growth of 25%, more than 1 billion as results. Moving and now talking about our strategies, it has been a very important year for us. So we had all the companies operational 100%, and this is important because we had a transition, a very important transition in sales, and we saw no interruption. So the network did not see this turn of key. This was very seamless. So the Caixa network was done very clearly with a very strong restriction of the portfolio. We jumped from third to the second largest gross pension fund. Home reached the first position after 10 months of operation. And the good news is that the loss ratio is dropping. And at the end of the year, we saw this downward trend, and we are going to have more details about it during the presentation. And more about our strategy for 2021, we used the new JVs operations and the new restructuring of the portfolio. We had to focus. One, we had to train the network so that the sales force would get to know the products better, and then we would use the bases in a better way so that we could use the client bases. As a training during the year, more than 19,700 that were trained for home and life insurance companies, and we see the results in our growth. We are talking about if the employees who are salespeople, and nearly half of this personnel received the training, and this impacted the sales team. We had more than 28,000 reporting growth. And everybody knows the tool, and everybody knows how important it is to the engagement and to the results for Seguridade. And talking about sales team, we have implemented in December to start in 2021 the correspondent Caixa Aqui, also in the sales team, because what we understand is the following: it's a very important part of the distribution, and we are going to focus even more on the correspondent. We understand how important it is in the consigned and also to the agribusiness and also to the home, and meeting a greater demand from the retail. And this impacted the performance of the bases of clients. The company closed with a basis of nearly 10.3 million clients, a growth, especially for insurance, home, and life base grew by 26%, home 15%, and the private fund 15%. And we also launched a product that has never been used in the bank insurance, which is an exclusive product to provide assistance, which is called Rapidex. And we had the best historical results for the period. Net income was 45.8%, 24% higher than in comparison to the previous year. And 897 million, 7.2% in relation to 2020. And we can't forget that we had an impact related to the indemnification related to COVID cases and claims. And our income was 7.2% higher than 2020. And we had IPO and the highest level. And we also enhanced our governance. We were the only state subsidiary to get 10 as the grant in the Secretary of State companies. Only three companies had this grade: Caixa, Banco do Brasil, and we as a state subsidiary. And so we are very proud of this achievement, and we are very proud to share this with you when we show the transition of the company with the record results, and the governance is so important for us. And after this introduction, I turn the call to Mr. Eduardo Oliveira for him to talk about the financial and commercial performance. Thank you, Camila. Good morning, everyone. So we are going to start on slide seven, some of the financial highlights in the period. In the fourth quarter, 2021, operating revenue showed the best quarterly result in the history of Caixa Seguridade, 727.3 million, recording a growth of 30.3% in relation to the same period of 2020, and an increase of 10.2% in the comparison with the third quarter 2021. Year to date, the growth was 13.2%. Although the revenues from participations have grown consistently in the period, the performance is mainly explained by the increase in the brokerage revenues, which increased by 52% when compared to the fourth quarter 2020, and 26% in the year. As Camila said, the company recorded net income of 545.8 million in the fourth quarter 2021, an increase of 20.4% when compared to the fourth quarter 2020, another quarterly milestone for Caixa Seguridade. Year to date, the growth stood at 7.2%. At this point, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that the results would have been even better had it not been for the effect of the increase of the CSLL tax rate in the second half of 2021 and the effect of the COVID-related events throughout the year. Without this impact, Caixa Seguridade's result would have been more than 2.2 billion, which would account for an increase of 21% when compared to 2020. ROE reached the mark of 38.8% per year, 4 pp higher than that recorded in 2020. The variation between 2020 and 2021 explained by the increase in the company's result by the high payout of Caixa Seguridade, which influences the index's denominator. On the next slide, we provide details of the effect of the pandemic in the company. We verified that when considering the non-pandemic view, disregarding the COVID-19 claims for the indicator, the loss ratio is observed at a level close to that of previous periods. The company's net income, as I said, would have been 14.8 higher, which would represent a growth of 18.8% compared to 2020, and not the 7.2% as realized. The CXSE equity revenues in the companies operating at Caixa Network would have been 21.2% higher in this year if not for COVID. And the insurance company that operates at the Caixa Network, more than 20% of the operating margin was consumed by the notices of claims related to COVID 2021, which would represent 23% growth in the operating margin of companies. We also noticed that the second quarter of 2021 was the most affected by COVID claims, not by chance. It's when the COVID-related deaths in Brazil reached its peak. Housing was the field that generated most notices, representing 60% of the total claims paid throughout the year. Continuing on slide 9, about our commercial performance, we provide a breakdown of each line of business group by line, risk, accumulation, distribution. The risk business is a group in which insurance and assistance services are considered. The highlight for the year was the home segment with 28% growth, best historical performance so far, as a result of training and engagement actions of the sales teams. In the quarter, the life segment stood out with a growth of 14% compared to the fourth quarter 20. In total, the risk businesses showed a growth of 1.7% in the comparison between the accumulated 2021 and the year 2020. In the quarterly view, 8.9% reduction recorded in the comparison between the fourth quarter and the same period of 2020 is directly related to the credit line, which was favored by the greater offer of Pronambi. In relation to the accumulation business, we highlight the contributions received from the Social Security, which reached 32.25 billion a year, representing 87% of the total and a growth of 29% compared to 2020. Premium bonds should also be highlighted with a growth of 11% in the quarter compared to the fourth quarter 20, already showing the effect of the start of the new partnership in the second half of 2021, as mentioned by Camila. Regarding the distribution business, the total commission received of 360.7 million represented a growth of 51.7% when compared to the same period of 2020 and 1.9% higher than the third quarter of 2021, reflecting the new brokerage model. In the accumulated perspective, the increase was 25.6% when compared to 2020 and 2021. In the following slide, we already started to address the operating performance of each business line, starting with the risk business. Operating income recorded an increase of 7.4% when compared to the fourth quarter 2020 and 11.4% in the year, totaling 7.37 billion. The loss ratio reached its lowest rate in the year, 24.8% in the quarter, in line with the historical level of Caixa Seguridade. The commission ratio, which shows the ratio between the acquisition costs and the earned premiums, improved by 1.2 percentage points compared to the fourth quarter 2020 due to the higher increase in the earned premiums in relation to the acquisition costs in the quarter. The operating margins for the risk business, in comparison with the same period of the previous year, grew by 10%, mainly leveraged by the volume of earned premiums in the year, with emphasis on the 126% growth in the home and 18% in life segment. In comparison to the third quarter 2021, the growth of 15.7% is driven by the reduction of claims in the house and life lines. In the accumulated perspective for the year, the increase was 4.1%. Moving on to slide 11, related to the accumulation business, I draw the attention to the pension plan segment, which in 2021 reached the mark of 109.8 billion in reserves, an increase of 19.1% compared to 2020. The redemption ratio, which had been rising in recent quarters, dropped this quarter to 3.3%. And the average management fee remained stable, reaching 1.21% in this fourth quarter. Total operating revenue grew by 9.2% in the quarter and 8.8% in the year, while the operating margin grew even higher, 10.6% in the quarter and 14.4% in the year. Moving on to slide 12 now, we will discuss a little bit about the operating performance of the distribution business in the fourth quarter 2021. The total commission received in the quarter was 360.7 million, which represents a growth of 51.7% when compared to the same period in 2020. In the accumulated perspective, revenue reached 1.1 billion, an increase of 25.6% when compared to 2020. With the new compensation structure derived from the establishment of our own brokerage, a gradual reduction of BDF revenues can be observed as brokerage revenues increase. The fourth quarter was the first in which all brokerage arising from new sales was paid in full to Caixa Seguridade Broker. In the consolidated view, considering the revenues from BDF and brokerage, the results of the revenues is comes from insurance sales 86% in the fourth quarter 2021. For the period, it's worth mentioning the brokerage revenues from the credit life in the amount of 202.8 million, home in the amount of 63.9 million, with a growth of 27.5% in relation to the third quarter 2021, and the pension plan segment in the amount of 23.2 million. Also, a robust increase of 23.1% when compared to the immediately previous quarter. Regarding the operating margin, the value of the fourth quarter of 2021 increased by 40% when compared to the same period of 2020. Year to date, the growth was 17.2%. Coming to slide 13, we would like to address some important indicators for the company. The IDA, Administrative Expenses Index, which measures the representativeness in percentage terms of administrative expenses, tax expenses in relation to the earning premiums and income from products on capitalization basis, presented in the fourth quarter 2021 a growth of 3 percentage points compared to the same period of 2020 and stability when compared to the third quarter 2021. The higher representativeness of IDA of the new partnerships results mainly from the lower revenue of these companies in the beginning of the operation, added to the implementation costs, which are recorded in the companies this year. With a greater maturity of operations, the IDA tends to fall as the expenses of new structures are diluted with increase of revenues. The combined ratio, which calculates the representativeness of the total operating costs in relation to the earned premiums and income from the products in the capitalization regime, and the expanded combined ratio, which, in addition to the variables of the combined ratio, also considered financial results in the calculation, improved in the fourth quarter 2021, mainly reflecting both cases, especially the effect of the dropping claims. With that, I conclude the evaluation of the performance of the fourth quarter of 2021, and we are now going to begin the Q&A session. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Conference call is now open for question and answers only for investors and investors. At the end of this step, we will open for questions from the journalists present. So if analysts or investors have a question, please press star one on your phone now or anytime after this announcement. If at any point your question is answered before your turn, please press the pound key to exit the queue. We ask that when you make up a question, speak close to the receiver of the device so that everyone can hear you clearly. Please wait while we collect the questions from analysts and investors. Our first question comes from William with Itaú BBA. Hello. Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask a question. On our side, we have two questions. The first is related to the loss ratio in the home segment. There was a relevant improvement in this index, even considering the COVID. So we would like to understand this drop and how can we see in the future? As you see it, what would be the level that would be considered recurrent and how you believe, when do you believe this will be reached? And my second question is related to the performance of the credit line. It's still dropping, and we understand that this is caused basically as a Pronami effect. But in 2021, we see the return of this program. So we would like to understand how you see the evolution of the credit line in 2022 and what are the measures you're going to adopt to mitigate any negative effect in the future. Thank you. Good morning, William. It's a pleasure to have you here in our conference. And I'm going to start answering your first question, then I'll turn the call to Camila so that she will talk about the credit line in relation to the home loss ratio. In fact, William, the cross ratio rate has been dropping along the second half of the year. As we identified, there is a very important correlation between the home and the death curve in Brazil. So along this period, this death curve dropped and the claim notices also accompanied this drop. As we reached the year, we recorded 24% for home. And this is a historical level. And this is what we are going to have in the future. Obviously, we have been monitoring the evolution of the pandemic, especially now with the new Omicron variant. We noticed that has been an increase in the number of cases and number in the number of deaths. And we are studying how this is going to affect the loss ratio and all the segments that is related to life. And what we have seen so far is that we do not notice in our insurance the impact of Omicron. So as far as we understand, William, we are likely to maintain this loss ratio level for the home segment that we recorded in the end of the year. So historically, this level has been 20-25% for the home segment. And our expectation is that this is going to be maintained along with 2022. William, thank you very much for the question in relation to the credit line performance. We had a Pronamp in 2021, but at very lower volume than 2020. So what we did in terms of strategy to increase the use of this. So we doubled the cross-sell in relation to Pronamp. So with networks, with trainings, with all the engagement actions, we understood the product better. And we also increased the cross-sell. Of course, the premium was lower because the volume of credit in this line was also lower. In relation to our perspectives for this year, so what have we been doing? We have expanding our channels. Not all credit lines have these items. So we're not going to be only focused on consigned and small-sized companies. So we are increasing the line for credit lines. For the agro, we have also made advances. This week, we did very important implementation. We expanded the cover. So since we were so much focused on the consigned, we had lower values for the credit lines. So we saw what were the contracts with credit lines, and the cash is not reducing credit as it's been announced in the media. So all of those expansions that we have been making lead us to a positive perspective for this year, okay? Okay, great. Thank you very much for your answers. Our next question comes from Caio with UBS. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask a question. I have two questions on my side. The first one is related to the dynamics with your own broker. It was the first quarter after the transition with Wiz that you operate fully, and the revenue grew by 9%, and it was a bit lower than we had expected. So I would like to understand what we expected in this kind of line for this year, and what are the other products performing, such as Life, whose performance was very positive for this quarter, and also in relation to the private funds. Private pensions. The other one is related to the financial results. If you could remind us if you have any sensitivity in relation to the increase of the Selic interest level. I understand that the impacts are different depending on the JV. So if you could provide some information according to each JV, it would be very important for us. Good morning, Caio. I'm going to start answering your question, and feel free to complement if anything is missing. In relation to our own broker, yes, in fact, it was the first quarter when we had 100% of the brokerage revenues from new sales. So the brokerage revenue is connected to the performance of sales. As I said before, the field of business that mostly contributed to the brokerage is the credit line. So this commission is very significant, and it impacts on the brokerage business. Since in the last quarter, the performance of a credit line, based on the reasons that we mentioned, it was lower, it offset the increase in view of the new model. Okay, Caio. So the revenue increased a lot in view of the new model. However, this revenue increase was not captured in full because the performance of the credit line in the last quarter was lower than it was in the fourth quarter 2020 due to Pronami and everything else. Our expectation, Caio, is that this level of making adjustments to the effect of production, it will materialize along 2022 as of the first quarter already. In relation to the financial result, in fact, as I've always been saying, the focus of the financial management of our insurers is in risk mitigation. So whenever the objective is to reduce this match between the assets and the liabilities, and in view of this, the financial position has a negative sensibility in relation to interest rate. Okay, Caio, if we look at it in an isolated manner, the financial reserves have lower revenue as interest rates increase. So this is done matching with the liabilities. When we look at operations and the financials, we can see that there's a match, and this dynamics of interest rate is going to bring in a benefit to the insurers that is going to be captured throughout time. So this dynamics is not going to be materialized at first. It will materialize throughout the time. Since the interest rate increased at a high level in the beginning of the year, so the trend is that the company is going to appropriate all the differentials of interest rate that we see in the economy and the lower cost of the actuarial liabilities, and the margin is going to be broader along the time. Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio from with Bank of America. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, Antonio, go ahead. Hi, Camila. Congratulations on the results, first of all. And I have two questions on my side. First one is a follow-up on William's question. If you could provide more color on 2022, what's the trend of loss ratio? We understand we are going back to normal levels, but if you could provide more information in relation to the commercial performance, in addition to the credit lines that are going to be favored with the new channels. So this would be the first question. The second question is, did we have such a strong performance in the business Previdência, in the growth of reserves, the redemption ratio? So how do you evaluate this competitiveness of your product, and what can we expect for this year? Thank you. Hi, Antonio. I believe that the perspectives for 2022, we can say that, since you know our network, we have already talked a lot about it. We have a lot of avenues for growth, and we are focusing or expanding the customer base. We have just completed 10 million. We hope to increase the number of clients across all income brackets with insurance, and we have been successful so far, and we are going to expand channels. We are also going to invest in trainings. So this is the objective for this year with the Lotérica outlet correspondence, which is part of our strategy. As we did in terms of improvement, is that we see that it's very well developed in terms of market. There's always innovations to come, but I would say that broadening the share of those channels, that it's something that we have already mentioned, but we understand that it's going to be more intensified for 2022, and these are the strategies for 2022. We'd like to remind you that we have home and life, but we also have CAP and Consórcio, which is something that we have received, the credit letters. So we have already seen good performance in the beginning of the year, already showing that the new product and the new company will provide good perspectives for us. We have just launched a credit letter for heavy-duty vehicles in a trade fair that we had in the city of Cascavel last week, and we have been monitoring all the strategies, and this new product was very welcome. And I believe that this is very aligned with Caixa and everything else that Caixa is building, and we are prepared to present and explore all the opportunities. So expanding the channels and the bases have been our focus. Since 2020, I think the results were very positive, but very concentrated on a campaign that we conducted in December. And whenever we have a campaign, is that the levels wouldn't fall. We trained the teams, and in September and October, we managed to expand our portfolio. There are two points to be considered when we talk about the private pension results. First, we led more knowledge of this product to our sales force. So since we were focused on fixed income, we didn't have this look at the portfolio, so the knowledge was very limited. So we did a very extensive training, and we continue giving a lot of input to all of those people. So the expansion of the portfolio bring an opportunity to go to the market, so much so that our growth had an increase in the portability for the entry. It was not a strategy for 2021, who had very good impact on the contributions, but we had a growth of 37%. Why do I say that? Because it's a strategy that we are likely to continue in 2022. And another point, and this is something related to the Caixa strength, Caixa's client is lawyer and conservative. So we had a strategy when we created the private. We had a better strategy for high income that they always ask us if we have impact from the competitors, if we have a lot of portability of outgoing. No, this outgoing portability has dropped because we have this loyalty with our clients. So these were the successful strategies that we had when we talk about private pension. It's so clear. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the results. Our next question comes from Henrique with BB Investments. Hello, Camila, Eduardo. First of all, congratulations on the results. Thank you for taking my question. I would like to ask one complementary question. According to Williams asked, so if you're observing an increase in the loss ratio in the home or in other segments. I think this growth was related to the growth in the number of deaths. So I have an additional question in relation to the private pension. You have an administration fee, which is much higher than the market uses. And with increase of the Selic interest rate, I think you are going to receive some pressure. And this is what we have observed. Do you have any strategy thinking in the long term when Selic goes back to a lower level to increase the allocation in funds that would generate more administration fees so that the pressure could happen in the future with variable incomes or multi-market? And another question, do you think about giving a guidance for this year for the short term? Thank you. Henrique, good morning. Yes, only to add the answer I gave to William's question. What happens is that when we look in January, we do not see any increase of the deaths related to COVID. But we know that during 2021, we saw a correlation between the death rate and the claims notices, especially in home. I mention home because the portfolio is larger, but it also applies to other fields. So when we see the increase of death numbers, we are monitoring all those numbers, but I'm going to say again what I said to William. But we still haven't seen any notices of claims related to COVID. I think we should be cautious to understand that there is a gap between when the claim happens and when the notice is reported at the insurance company. In Caixa Seguridade, this gap varies from 30 to 60 days, okay, Henrique? So maybe an increase in the fatalities that happened in the beginning of this year, in January, and now in the second quarter of February, maybe they are going to be reflected in our loss ratio rates 30 or 60 days later, February and March. As I said, so far we have not identified this movement, but there may be some effect until the end of this first quarter. But what we see here is that this exponential increase in the cases started to stabilize, and this is a dynamic that has also been happening with the death rate. We reached the level of deaths on average in the 7 days, about 800, if I'm not mistaken, and it is relatively stabilized at this level in the last few weeks. We're going to continue monitoring this, and if there is any effect, we imagine that this is going to be felt between February, the second half of February, and beginning of March. In relation to guidance, before I turn the floor to Camila to talk about private fund, yes, we're studying the issue about guidance. After the IPO, we understood that this was not the ideal thing to do, considering the new structure, because the guidance would start to represent not only the commercial aspects, operational aspects, but also the effects of a new structure. So along 2022, with the stability of the effects of the new structure, this is going to be back to our radar. So we might start to provide guidance to the market along this year. We're discussing this point internally, okay? Enrique, hi, I'm so glad you're there. In relation to the private pension, really, we're not feeling this pressure by any rate now, but in the recent past, our fee didn't have a lot of variation, so we didn't feel this pressure. Of course, by expanding the portfolio, this is something we monitor with the clients. So we may have to develop a strategy to go to other portfolios such as multi-market. But even after expanding our portfolio, our client was very conservative. Of course, in a high interest rate, we would imagine that in addition to that profile, it would be expanded in other ways. So much so that our portfolio increased in the post-fixed income. We evaluate as we see the movement from the client. In the recent past, we didn't feel this pressure. Our next question comes from Danielle with Credit Suisse. Hello, Camila. Hi, Eduardo. How are you? My question, I have two questions. One on a follow-up on Caio's question to understand the impact on the financial impact, if it has any difference in the subsidiaries, in the PREV, is IGPM, other aspects that you have to offset. One would include more inflation, the other would include more Selic. For the subsidiaries, do you have any indication to help us understand? And the second question is related to an adjustment of the consolidation of the holding that was amounted to about 30 million. Is this a level that we should understand will be applied for the next quarters? Only for us to understand the figures for the next quarters. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the results again. Good morning, Danielle. I didn't quite understand the first part of the question, but I'm going to try to answer it as much as I can. Please interrupt me if you need to add something. In relation to the financial aspects, there is a point which is important to mention, which is related to the potential variation of in the mismatch of in the indicators and everything. You know that in Caixa Seguridade, this is a relevant point. However, we have a very small share of our reserves linked to, I'm talking about private pending. It doesn't reach 1% of the total amount. So this mismatch of IGPM rate, IBCA, they're not relevant to our financial results. This is the first point. When the Williams question was in relation to how Selic would impact our results. I didn't even mention the IGPM tax because this is not critical to us. Generally speaking, Danielle, as I said, we have a portion of the portfolio in prefixed income matching the actuarial liabilities. And if we look at this in an isolated manner, of course, we are going to see the impact of interest rates. So all those portfolios that are prefixed, part of it, are in the category two. The effect of the market marking happens in the income result, but they do not impact, they're not in the curve. But as I said, they're not going to harm the result of the company along the time because there is this match with the liabilities. The new investments that are being made, they are having a higher level than those of the past considering the Selic rate. So this is the benefit that Caixa Seguridade and companies are going to take advantage of along the time. So not only 2022, but the following years, we are going to continue capturing all the benefits of this higher interest rate according to Selic. Sorry, Danielle. You also mentioned consolidation. It's related to a gap adjustment related to the appreciated of real estate fund that we have, where we have a share. And the real estate fund was reevaluated. That asset was reevaluated, and it caused an impact in the adjustment and also in the consolidation. Thank you. We are now going to start the questions through the webcast. The first question is with Star Investment, André Galindo. Could you provide more details of the divestments identified as non-strategic? Are they going to happen in 2022? Thank you. Hi, André. I think we have some discussions which are more advanced, but as I have said in the other calls, we are going to use a fair price and according to the governance expected and in compliance with the regulators. There are different details that have to be considered, but there are discussions which are more advanced, but we expect them to happen in 2022, yes. Our next question comes from Stephanie, shareholder. How often does the company intend to pay the shareholders? Does the company intend to maintain the predictability of the dividend payments? Yes, we intend to maintain it every semester, and the expectation is to pay again in April at the same levels that we have been doing. Our next question comes from Otavio with Bradesco BBI. Good morning, everyone. Do you have a direction of what would be the recurring level of credit line insurances without the governmental incentives? Good morning, Otavio. This is what happens. Credit line has always been connected with Pronamp. So the regular question would be, if we remove the credit line with Pronami, are we going to go back to the normal levels? No, because the focus was on the branch, was on the legal entities, the production was decreased in the individuals. So the trend is that removing the effect of the Pronam in the result of 2022 is likely to be higher than the credit line for 2021. So our expectation in relation to the credit line for 2022 is to grow in relation to 2021 without the effect of Pronam, of course, at least at a level higher than 10%, at least. We'd like to remind you that if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, press star 2. Please wait while we collect new questions. We'd like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, press star 2. Now, next question via web. Leonardo Barros, individual. I would like to know what's going to be the strategy of income distribution. What's the expectation of CapEx for 2022, and how is this CapEx going to be invested? Good morning, Leonardo. In relation to dividends, our expectation is to maintain the payout we have been materializing in the first quarter of 2021, paying 90% of the adjusted income, net income. So the results will depend on a resolution of our shareholders meeting that is likely to happen in April. And this is when the approval of the payment is going to be made. In relation to CapEx, the investment for the organization of the new JVs have already materialized in 2021. So we have no expectation that new investments are going to be made in CapEx in 2022. As of now, Caixa Seguridade and its companies will start a pace of operations. So we have no expectations of new investments for 2022. So any surplus of capital is likely to be distributed as dividends. Excuse me. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Ms. Camila Aichinger to proceed with her final remarks. Please, ma'am, you have the floor. Thank you. I would like to thank you once again. 2021 was a very important year for Caixa Seguridade, considering all the transformation we went through, high levels of governance. So I would like to thank the market, to Caixa Seguridade teams, especially Caixa, who has also posted historical results that allowed us to have all this performance. I would like to thank you all and have a good day. This concludes today's Caixa Seguridade conference call. Thank you very much for your participation and have a good afternoon.